BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For reference, over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, you know, follow us on Twitch, subscribe on Twitch. There's a little, you know, Twitch Prime button up at the top that you can click. If you have Amazon Prime, you may have a free subscription, so you want to check that out. We always welcome new followers and new subscribers. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. The end of WrestleMania week.
It's over!
Thank goodness. But we have to get through it. We have to talk all about it. Which we'll do live right here, right now on the Rack. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word on Twitter. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive. And chat with us there. Give us your thoughts on WrestleMania, etc., etc., etc. Plus, tonight we have a crap ton of news. So, gonna forewarn you, we're doing Mania, and then we're doing news.
Yeah, so we have to talk about all 15 or 16 matches that are on WrestleMania, and we have about 2 weeks of news that is backstocked, and it's been a very, very busy week coming out of WrestleMania for news, so...
Who knew? Because, like, we were backstocking news, we were like, okay, we're gonna have a nice, nice little news segment coming out, because we saved all the news.
Apparently, everybody decided to lose their you-know-what after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And Brent got busy.
He did.
Now, just to let everybody know, some of the news we can talk about during WrestleMania, we're going to talk about during WrestleMania, so it's not going to be like this epic, huge news segment, but yeah, there is a lot to talk about going into the show and coming out of the show because stuff happens. So we're not going to waste a lot of time. We're going to stop telling you stuff happened. We're actually going to talk to you about the stuff that happened. So, all right, we are going to jump right into WrestleMania, which start...
Cruiserweight Championship, Buddy Murphy, Tony Nese. We have a brand new Cruiserweight Champion in Tony Nese. Congrats to him. They had an athletic matchup. some good near falls. I was like, his finisher's the running knee in the corner. It's like, okay, cool. Tony Nese is now your champion.
Yeah, so congratulations to him. It's been a long road, so very happy that he is now Cruiserweight champion, and I'm sure he will defend it with pride and grace and lots and lots and lots of abs.
Yep, then we had the Women's Battle Royal. Couple key things. The Riot Squad shined. They actually gave Dana Brooke some moments, which was interesting. And I thought Sarah Logan looked good. She actually thought she had a one at one point. But Carmella was on the outside, never was eliminated. It was Sarah Logan, Asuka, and Sonya at the end. Sarah thought she had won, but Carmella was still alive. Carmella ends up winning.
Which is a surprise, I think, to everybody, but it's a good surprise. It's a happy surprise. I think we would have taken pretty much anybody. But Carmella's a nice winner.
Former Money in the Bank winner, former women's champion, perfect candidate to win. Like, when she came out, she was, like, very subdued. It wasn't like Carmella we're used to seeing. So I was like, something's up here. And I was like, she's just playing her part. She's going to play cool. She's not going to be out there and over the top. She's going to sneak around a little bit and get the job done. And she did.
So congratulations to her. Good job. What's next?
Then there was Shawn Michaels.
Okay, so in the What They Wore segment of this show tonight, everybody is all dressed up, right? It's WrestleMania. They're in their tuxes. They're in their sparkly dresses. They got their hair and their makeup did. Shawn Michaels apparently either didn't get the memo, didn't care, or was just like, look, I'm only changing once tonight, and this is what I'm wearing. Take it or leave it. I think it was the latter, because the dude rolls up to the pre-show in a leather vest, t-shirt, jeans, cowboy hat, but, you know, to keep it classy, they slap a tie on him.
So what I figure is when he got to the building, he was told he didn't know he was actually on the panel because he only did one segment on the panel. So it's like he was probably getting ready for the DX bit later in the show for the Hall of Fame stuff, and they didn't dress up. They just wore jeans and DX shirts. So it's like he didn't come prepared. So you can see he travels with his gear because that's the vest he wore when he came back because he wore the hat at the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so he has his vest, so he put that on. He has a white shirt, okay, cool, which he probably wore under his suit the night before. So it's like, okay, cool. And that Shawn Eddie is a proud NXT hat. And so it's like, okay, good job, Shawn. And there's a picture floating. He has a smile on his face like, yep, I'm here. I'm doing what I was told. I'm doing what I'm told. Can I get off camera now? Because when he was doing the analyst part, it's like, and reading some stuff, it's like, he had no idea what he was talking about because he was not, you know, he wasn't prepared for this.
No, he wasn't. I think if they had had him be prepared for it, he would have totally showed up with a suit and a tie and everything like he was supposed to. But it was like, oh, hey, by the way, Shawn, we're going to put you on the pre-show. And he's like, I don't have anything suitable to wear. So somebody took off their tie and they gave it to Shawn Michaels, or somebody had a spare tie from like the Hall of Fame or something in their bag and they gave it to him to wear.
It was
probably find hilarious.
It was probably Hunter's tie from something.
You know what? That's not probably far off. Or it was Vince's.
Someone's.
It was someone's tie that Shawn Michaels borrowed for the pre-show, and it was hilarious.
The team of Hawkins and Ryder became new Raw Tag Team Champions, like I predicted weeks and weeks ago on the Raw Post Show, by being the Revival. Dash got a big ovation when he entered the ring, because, you know, he knocked out a dude the night before. But Dawson got small package. Hawkins wins in his hometown. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Hawkins and Ryder, because they're both from Jersey, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but one's from Long Island. You know, the Long Island IZ. Woo, woo, woo.
Isn't Long Island technically part of Jersey?
No, it's New York.
Okay.
Then we have the Andrade Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but we need to say, hi, Luke Harper. Welcome back.
Luke!
He went face-to-face with Braun, and then they both got attacked.
So could there be things in the works? Braun was at SmackDown.
Maybe. Braun and the SNL guys were the final three. They had a therapist come into the ring. Braun quickly disposed of the therapist, not Dr. Shelby. And then the SNL guys tried to get Braun out. They couldn't. They failed. And Braun ended up winning.
So, again, very suitable candidate to win the Battle Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this means another uptick for Braun, especially now that Brock is out of the picture for a little while. Maybe, sort of, not really, spoiler. Maybe they're going to push Braun again, but who knows.
Now on to the main show, Alexa Bliss kicks us off and says, with the snap of her finger, she can deliver a WrestleMania moment, brother. As Hulk Hogan came down, did a little pose, made a joke about the Silver Dome, yet screwed up the current building. He called it the MetLife Center. It's the MetLife Stadium. At least he got part of the name correct, brother.
Yeah, real quick. Ash, the dude that attacked Bret Hart did get charged. Well, I think we're talking about that a little later.
No, we're not. But anyway.
Okay. Well, yes, he did get charged. There you go.
Yeah, the guy who attacked Bret Hart got charged. Bert with two T's. Kidding. So Hogan and Alexa posed. Alexa looked cute trying to pose as Hulk Hogan. She's like, here, look at my muscles. Look how big my muscles are.
She was geeking out the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was adorable.
Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman walks out as they're doing their posing, and Hogan's like, what? So Paul Heyman storms to the ring. He's like, if my client's not on last, he's not waiting.
So basically, Brock wants to go home now.
Yeah. So it's a Universal title, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. The match was short because the beating beforehand was impressive by Brock Lesnar. He just beat the ever-living crap out of Seth Rollins. But, Michael Cole, I know you just autopilot sometimes, okay? So things were missing, Lindsay, around the ring.
Mm.
There were no LED ring posts, and there were no LED screens. Michael Cole. Brock throws him into the LED screen.
He's practicing for the video game. They use the video game commentary. That's what they did.
Yeah. It was just a ring apron.
You know, honestly, I think they are so conditioned to say that it's just, they don't even think about it. Like, they just, you just say it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I mean, if you think about it, he calls at least one show, and I think he's at SmackDown coaching the announcers at SmackDown. So it's like, you get used to using certain terminology.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Rollins was all beat up. His back was really bruised. So he took a hell of a beating from Brock. The ref had to duck a bump, which allowed the ref rolled to the outside. Seth Rollins then took advantage with a low blow. Not one, not two, but three curb stomps. And we have a brand new Universal Champion, Seth Rollins.
Praise the G-Bus.
Which means one thing, points.
Seth Rollins is your champion. Brock is gone. We have the title back. Everybody, I think, is beyond happy about this. I don't see anybody who's really upset with Brock Lesnar losing the title. I'm sure there are people that are huge Brock fans, and I'm sorry, but I think we're all ecstatic that at long last the title is back on the show. Hopefully it stays for more than a month this time. Like, hopefully Brock doesn't come back in a month and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, I want my title back. And they give it back to him, and it's just like, oh, God.
So, in the match we all saw, but people in the building had trouble seeing, was Randy Orton and AJ Styles.
Because it kind of went everywhere.
No. There was this really big, bright light.
Oh, Ricochet was smiling.
This was the Ricochet was smiling moment. There was a bright light at the top that was blinding everyone.
Yeah, and it was so bright that my dad asked me about it the next day. Like, he was like, so I heard there was, like, some problems at WrestleMania, and he's like, something about a light? And I was like, oh, you heard about that, huh?
That one made the news? Yeah, it was very bright. And at one point it went off, and they went all yay, and came back around and went boo, and yeah, that's why the crowd was reacting a different way. It's like cheering for the light. AJ Styles picked the victory. Good match, solid match over Randy Orton.
Yay, go AJ.
This is the point of the show we all said hi, Lacey Evans.
And her dress, at least she was appropriately attired.
Mm-hmm. We had more of her this week, and she actually got physical, which is great. Then we have the SmackDown tag titles, the Usos, The Bar, Ricochet and Aleister Black, and Shinsuke and Nakamura and Rusev.
Shinsuke's coat. Oh my God. Shinsuke's coat and Aleister's coat. We talked about it on TakeOver, but he rewore it with the tusks and the teeth and then gnashing. And God bless Aleister Black, because, you know, he's standing there, he's sitting there, and he's like, he's trying to look all mean, and then there's Ricochet, who can't help but smile. He's standing there smiling the whole goddamn time. Because he walks out, and you see this moment on his face where he walks out, and he's like, oh shit. Like, just the magnitude of it sinks in, because this meant so much to him to be here, because he fought so hard to get here.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that geek out moment, and he's just like smiling from ear to ear. So there's Aleister doing his Aleister thing, and then there's Ricochet just grinning like an idiot the whole time. It was adorable.
Cesaro with the giant swing to Ricochet, and then Sheamus just starts pounding on everyone's chest. That was impressive. It's like 32 rotations, I think someone said on Twitter.
Yeah, there was something where it's like, I was watching this and my mom walked in and she was just like, what the hell is going on? I was like, wrestling. It's wrestling. Don't ask.
In the end, a double Usos and the Usos retained the tag team titles of SmackDown.
I'm okay with this.
Good match.
Very good match.
Okay, SmackDown time. We have brand new tag team champions on SmackDown Live. Yes!
It's April.
You know what that means. Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, are you new SmackDown Live tag team champions?
So is the puppet going to come for Matt Hardy?
No. Mm. No. Do you really want that again?
No, I'm saying, you know, they beat each other up and then Bray throws Matt into the Lake of Reincarnation and...
And bring back, what, version one Matt Hardy?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All the Matt facts. I love the Matt facts, by the way. They were great.
They were awesome.
All right, Shane McMahon, The Miz. Falls this down went, anywhere. Go ahead.
This went everywhere.
Yes.
This inspired a meme.
Yeah.
And Shane and Miz both did something stupid in this. This had everything you could ever want and more. They beat the crap out of each other all over the building. We had crowd diving, which we almost never have anymore. They actually made it up to the production tables, trashed the production tables, trashed the... And they made it up to announcers row.
International announcers row.
Yes, and proceeded to just, like, take out an announce table or two because they could, to which it sparked the fantasy questions. So, because these are regular tables, does it count? Because it's technically an announce table, so does it count?
It was an announce table. Yeah. This was a hell of a fight. It was everything it should have been. But Shane setting up Mrs. Dad's hands for the fight was just the perfect meme, and it's just gone everywhere. I love it.
I love that they got his dad involved. Like, where Miz is down and his dad jumps the rail and is, like, trying to defend his son. Like, I thought that was great.
Yeah, it was a nice story tie-in. So we got the tech area. We fought up there. Shane was begging for forgiveness. Then we had the superplex off the camera platform. Shane falls on top with his arm on Miz for the 1, 2, 3.
Great finish. Great, great finish. I felt so bad for the camera guy on the platform because he's trying so hard to get out of the shot. And there's just like nowhere for that poor man to go. He's like, oh God.
He's stuck.
Oh God.
He's just plain old stuck up there.
He's just stuck. Another really, really, really nice touch in this match was you had Shane in all black.
Yeah.
Which... Normally he comes out in the black pants and the white jersey. This time he was in an all black attire, black jersey, black pants, black shoes. So it was a really nice nod to him being a heel in a very subtle way. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a really,
very
nice,
much.
Really nice touch. Really nice touch. All right. Next, it is the four-way for the women's tag team titles, the Boston Hot Connection, Nia Jax and Tamina, Beth Phoenix and Natalya, and the Iconics. Paige was on an announce team. The Bailey buddies had some
performance issues.
Performance issues. That is exactly
it. Happens. It happens. I think Billy Gunn set them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that before we get into this matchup. The Hall of Fame was great. The
Hall of Fame was amazing.
Tori Wilson had a hell of a speech. Hell of a speech. And the fact that she threw in the puberty line that she keeps getting reminded of this weekend. You guys are purity. Yay. But it was a very nice, touching, uplifting speech, especially the week she had. It was great.
Yeah, poor Tori Wilson. She lost her father like 2 days before the Hall of Fame, and she still came and did it and gave a wonderful speech dedicating it to her dad, which was so sweet. You had...
Hold on, before we go into the other speech, Stacy Keibler was there. Which was
they got Stacy Keibler.
They pulled her out. I was like, I told Brent the a couple weeks ago, I was like, he was like, who's going to induct Tori? I was like, if anyone gets Stacy Keibler back, it's Tori Wilson. And bam, mm-hmm. It happened.
It happened. It was a thing. You had Bret Hart unfortunately get attacked during his induction. Apparently, the way that they had the Hall of Fame set up was they had it in the ring because TakeOver was the next night.
The night prior.
Or I'm sorry, the night prior. I always get them confused. Anyway, they had TakeOver the night prior and Raw was on Monday, so they're not going to break down the ring for the Hall of Fame. So they just took the middle ropes down on the camera side and put up a podium and everything and made it all set up. So you have the Raw SmackDown joint setup where everybody's sitting around the ring and the fans were at essentially ringside. So they were very, very, very close.
They were not at ringside. They were in the 100 level. Like the wrestlers were all around ringside, but it was easy access to jump a rail.
Yeah.
That was the issue.
So anyway, so this dude jumps the rail when Bret Hart comes out. Like Bret's in the ring giving his speech. Dude comes running up and tackles Bret Hart, which you shouldn't do because the poor man has a history of seizures and everything else from falling. So you don't want anything bad to happen to him. And the dude got him down on the floor. Everybody jumps up. Dash Wilder, Ronda's husband...
Shane.
Heath Slater, Shane, all got punches in on the guy. I mean, Ronda's husband did a goddamn number on him. So did Dash Wilder. Like, you look at his face.
The impressive part was with Ronda's husband, Travis Brown, he was in the ring just as the guy got into the ring. Like, he saw it coming, he jumped the ring, and tried his damnedest to get to him as fast as he could. He was in there in half a second.
He was on it. Like, he was on it. Mm-hmm. And he got to him first, and he just yanked the guy off of Brett.
Yeah.
Just was like, yoink, no you don't.
No you don't. So that happened. Props to Drake Maverick's Rockstar Spud for getting on the microphone. Like, let's ignore this dude. Let's get back to business. It's like someone, you're waiting for someone to, like, let's get back in control. It's like, and Spud's out there. He goes, yep, let's get this back under control. Don't pay this dude any attention. Let's get this.
Yeah, ignore this man.
Let's get the show back on the road.
So props to him. Props to everybody who stepped in on that. Well done. Brett is okay.
Brett's fine.
He's fine. The dude has been charged, and he has a broken face, but he has been charged with, I believe, assault.
Yeah.
At the very least, assault.
Assault and trespassing.
Yeah, so those are not fun charges, so we'll see what happens there with him.
And then there was DX.
Oh my god, DX. I mean, I don't think anybody really knew what to expect from DX, but I think we knew what to expect, and honestly, it blew anything that I expected away for them. Of course, Hunter being Hunter has to be a little shit, and he has to, you know, rib Vince because he can.
And after everything that went down in the news, which we'll get to later, kind of seems appropriate that they did that.
Yep.
It seemed very off the cuff that they sort of came out and did that. But then they, can we say boob? Boob? Boob?
Can I get a check on boob from the truck? Is it okay if I say boobs?
Triple H likes boobs. Can we say boobs? There was a little punch of shots at AEW. They were great. DX was fantastic. Poor Sean, his family wasn't there, so he made a joke about it. Like, I have nobody. Sean Waltman was so nervous, but he delivered a hell of a performance as they ribbed him the entire time. Overall, I enjoyed the Hall of Fame. I thought this was a very fast-moving Hall of Fame. Even though it went 3+ hours, it didn't feel like 3+ hours. They kept it moving, which is good, and I love the setup. We'll probably never see it again, but I love the setup.
I liked it a lot better. It felt a lot less stiffer, and what was nice is you could see people behind them. So you could see they had, Rhonda and Hunter, Rhonda and Steph and, all the big names on the camera side, so you could see all of them behind the inductees as they were making their speeches. You had them every time they would...
That was the New Day.
It was the New Day. It was Rusev and the Usos behind everybody, and it's like it was so funny because every time they would cut to Renee and Graves as they're doing the little commentary around between inductees, people are making faces, they're cutting up, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background behind this really sort of serious moment. Everybody is New Day is making faces, Big E is gyrating. Rusev leans over at one point to the Usos, and the Usos are dude, camera, dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so great.
All right. So now back to the match. Back to business. Beth and Natty had matching gear, matching jackets. Brett came out. Nice touch there.
Mom looks so good. She looks so, so good. This made me incredibly happy to see Beth and Natty do this.
So, Beth hit the glam slam from the top rope, but got knocked out of the ring by Billy Kay. Billy Kay stole the victory, and the Iconics are your new women's tag team champions.
As much as I love Bayley and Sasha, I am 100% on board for the Iconics getting the tag team titles, just based on what we saw on SmackDown. This is going to be a tremendous run if they do it right, just because it's if anybody can be those insincere, terrible girl heels... It's the Iconics. They have that so down.
It's the Iconics. Also, there's a 9-minute
video. Did you do the pose?
Yes. There's a 9-minute video on WWE's Twitter and probably on their YouTube of the Iconics walking around. Hey, did you see our plates? Don't you like our plates? Aren't they beautiful? Don't you like our plates? And there's this one dude who I think one of the writers or something, or works for .com or something. And they're sticking their plate, the belts in his face. And as they're walking away, I'm married. So funny. He's like, put
it was
up his
amazing.
I'm married. Up next, WWE title, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston.
This was great. This was absolutely fantastic. This was everything you could want and more. This sort of felt like a mini main event, and it was in its own right. But this was everything you could ask for from this match. It very much had the same feel of when Bryan won the title at 30 with Kofi, where he's gone up against all these insurmountable odds. He's come through every time. He's got Woods and Eid cheering him on the whole entire match. You've got Rowan lurking. It was great. It was so great.
You had the crowd invested. The crowd was into it. They all wanted Kofi Kingston to win. Kofi did win. They hit Trouble of Paradise. Some great near falls. Eric Rowan got taken out. Kofi Kingston is your new WWE champion. Big E came with a present, which was a box of shirts. And they also had the old title belt waiting for Kofi.
Yeah, they like at the beginning of the match, E pulls out the box and we're like, oh, that's the
belt.
That's the old title, right? That's got to be the old title. And we're like, okay, so when Kofi wins and they're all celebrating, they're going to go, Big E goes to go get the title from Bryan, and it's the hemp title. And he's like, no. And he tosses that aside, and they unveil, or they pull the velvet they had under the title off, to reveal the shiny, sparkly, freshly cleaned WWE Championship. So, and they give it to Kofi, and then they pull out the box, and, you know, there are the shirts commemorating Kofi, talking too fast. And yeah, to the people out there that went and searched shop and claimed that WWE spoiled the match because the shirts were already on shop when the match started, what the hell are you doing searching WWE shop during WrestleMania? Like, who's sitting there watching people's merch come in to spy WrestleMania spoilers? Seriously, dude, just watch the show, okay? Just, it's not that important, okay?
WWE didn't spoil.
We all good?
WWE didn't spoil anything. You spoiled it for yourselves, because WWE didn't put anything out. Y'all went and found it.
Yeah. They didn't have anything announcing that. They didn't say anything to anyone about it. They legit just had it up on the site, ready to go at the end of the match. They probably put it up right before the match was going to go live. So they just like, okay, we're going to post it. And then, you know, when the win happens, and it's like, go to WWE shop and get your shirt, and it's already there. Like, it's already live. That's probably what happened, because it's like, who is going to go looking for the shirt during the match?
Because you had to go searching for it. You had to type in the phrase New Day to find it. And, you know, it is what it is. The Daniel Bryan shirt that was modeled later in the night was also up on the shop, but no one talked about that one. Anyway.
As modeled by the B team. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is a tremendous win for Kofi. It's a historic win, and congratulations to him. It is beyond well deserved. Woods was elated. Big E was elated. They brought his kids into the ring. They're screaming and shouting and excited. His wife, I think, was crying. It was the perfect end. It was absolutely the perfect ending to the story.
Yeah.
So well done. Well done on that.
It was very well done. It was great for Kofi and his family. The celebration was awesome. This is the best way to put it. The celebration was really cool. We then move on from there. Alexa Bliss checked on the SNL guys, and you had the proctologist waiting, and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Too sweet.
I don't think you want them to be your proctologist. We should also note that the medical area was labeled mortuary.
Yeah, very nice touch. You blink, you missed it. Rey Mysterio lost a US title match against Samoa Joe. Entrances took longer than the match.
But Rey's gear was cool.
Yeah, he always has good WrestleMania gear. Roman Reigns beat Drew McIntyre in what was an average match.
It was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing, but it wasn't the worst thing. But it was also something that it's like they didn't necessarily put a lot of effort into it. It was essentially a filler match, because they were trying to get Roman and Drew on the show, and it's okay, all right, you two can fight each other, and we'll worry about everything else later, because again, they brought Roman back kind of in the midst of all the Mania plans being set up, and they had sort of at that point moved on from Dean and Roman because they didn't know if it was a possibility, and I think Dean had already indicated he was wanting to leave, so they didn't want to set that up. They wanted to tell a different story with that. I think if Dean had stayed, then they might have considered doing Dean and Roman anyway, but you would have to see.
You would indeed. Then, Roman won with a spear, by the way. Superman punch spear. I know that is shocking. That's a shocking way to do it. Superman punch and a spear. Never seen that before. We'll never, ever see it again. Up next, are you ready to walk with Elias? Or better yet, watch Elias play with himself? Because that's what
crazy.
He did. That's what he did. That's what he did. In front of 82,000 people, he played with himself.
He played drums. He played guitar. I think he played piano. Mm-hmm. They had a bunch of it pre-recorded. I didn't realize he was that musically inclined.
it was nicely done. And then he got interrupted.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thuganomics. This is basic thuganomics. Word life.
Old school John Cena.
Word life. Basic doctor of thuganomics. John Cena, circa like 2005?
2002? No, 2003.
2003 John Cena, somewhere in there. I mean, my God, when that hit and he came out in the hat and the jersey and everything, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, wow, okay, all right, cool. So he comes out, he cuts a promo on Elias. My favorite part was, I'm the golden shovel, I bury careers.
They call me the golden shovel, and I'm about to bury your push. Bam. And he's not going to give out any AAs. Oh, no. It's just an F-U. It was nice. It was cool. It was a nice, cool moment for Cena.
It was a good way to get him on the show, and then they kind of fought a little bit, and Cena stood tall.
After the F-U? Yep.
After the F-U. So, yeah, that was nice to see. I think everybody was expecting Taker, so to throw Cena in there, that was good.
That was no holds barred. Triple H and Batista. Nice entrance for Batista with all that security.
That was cool. You had Batista roll up in two Escalades with security. He's escorted to the ring. They didn't help him get in the ring, and he tripped.
Kind of stumbled. Okay, before we get to Hunter, go after this show. Go to Up Up Down Down on YouTube and watch Xavier Woods and Tyler Breeze react to the pre-show music test of Batista's entrance, because Woods loves the entrance, the song. He loves I Walk Alone, right? So he's marking out for the entire thing, and then they have footage of Woods watching the entrance, and he's marking out for the entire thing. It's great. Go, yeah, y'all need to go see it. It's on their YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down. Check it out. But then there's Hunter.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know or weren't aware or whatever, the set was very simple this year. They had just basically a gigantic curved screen and the stage, and that was really sort of it. A lot of people kind of complained about the set being as simple as it was, but here's the reason why the set was as simple as it was. One, they had the 3D graphics, and two, the screen was 8K.
Go ahead.
If your brain can process that, it wasn't $8,000. It was 8K. So picture your 4K TV and double that.
Yeah.
That's what this screen was. It was beyond hyper-realistic. It was so colorful and so intense. Their cameras could not handle it.
And as the night went on, it looked better and better and better. So people watching early in the daylight, it's like, the set doesn't do anything. But then you watch it as the night goes on. It's a gigantic 8K movie screen. It's awesome looking.
And they gave Hunter no less than a theatrical entrance. We had to witness him because it had a Mad Max theme. He rolls out in a car, complete with a roll boy, or I should say a war boy. And he takes off his mask, his leather jacket, which I have to laugh because it's like, I know somewhere between like wrestling Triple H and like dork Triple H that we saw at the Hall of Fame, that there's somewhere between that's the actual real person. But I love that Hunter, when he's got his game face on, he's just pure badassery. Mm. Like, that's how he thinks he is. And then we all know how he actually is, which is a giant geek. So I just had to laugh at that. But yeah, so he comes out with his impressive entrance. They don't waste any time in this match. They beat the crap out of each other. He did an ode to Pete Dunne, y'all. Triple H did an ode to Pete Dunne when he broke out a wrench and tried to break Batista's fingers with it.
And then he went after the nose ring. He yoinked out the nose ring with pliers.
Which everybody's like, oh my God! It was pretty gross, but it was like, okay, alright. Alright, we're doing it like this? Okay.
There was one backdrop on the table that looked like it hurt, and then they got spear through another table. It was like, ooh, ooh. There was one point Hunter got DDT on the steps, and he bounced, his head, like, bounced, and he bounced all up. It was like, ooh. The ending saw Ric Flair show up, hand Triple H a second sledgehammer. Ric Flair then distracted Batista, allowing the sledgehammer to connect on Batista, and then a pedigree for the 1-2-3. Did this go too long? Yes. Was it good? Yes. We'll always Triple H's matches go longer than they should? Yes. Why? It's Triple H. And usually he's fighting someone who deserves a lot of time in the ring. That's the best way to put it.
What wasn't announced for this match was this was Batista's farewell match. This was his last Mania, his last wrestling match. And so I think they gave them a little bit longer because of that. There was the stipulation that if Hunter lost, he would retire. But it wasn't implied that Batista would. So sadly, Batista is now fully retired, so he can go off and be Drax as much as he wants and pursue a movie career. But yes, this was very, very good. This was very entertaining. Liked it from top to bottom. It had a very appropriate amount of violence. You never know how these things are going to go, but this was perfectly violent, which is exactly how you want a street fight, no holds barred, whatever the hell this was, type situation.
Yeah. So then we had Alexa and the B team selling the Daniel Bryan still your planet's champion shirts. And talk about Bo's dancing.
Bo is a dork. Bo is an adorable dork, and I wish they would do more with him because he could be a legitimate star, but they don't. And it's very sad.
And then we got a damn out of Ron Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we almost got two.
Because damn.
Anyway. It was that bad.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle. Baron Corbin, Kurt Angle's retirement match. Kurt Angle should never, and I repeat, never ever try a moonsault. It always fails. And we had Kurt, he did all his hits, he did his suplexes and the angle slam, the ankle lock and all that stuff. But he went for the moonsault. He missed like always. Then Baron hit the end of days, Baron Corbin retires Kurt Angle.
Simple, straightforward. Effective.
It was what it was.
It was what it was. It's unfortunately a retirement for Kurt Angle, but I think it's time. He's at peace with the decision, so nobody can fault him for that. And yeah, it was okay.
It was then the Intercontinental title match, Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor, the demon Finn Balor. Thoughts on the demon entrance?
We finally got a demon entrance. I think I'm pregnant from it. I'm very happy because it was cool because they did because of the screen, they could do all these really cool special effects for Finn. They busted out the fog machines. He gets lower. He's lowered down on the Alexa stand from last year or a couple of years ago. And yeah, it was just wonderful. It was spectacular. It was the demon. And it's like, yep, this was worth the wait. Totally worth the wait. And the body paint was sick.
Here's my problem with it. He was on so late, it almost was forgettable at the end.
I feel like the match was...
I think it, over time, if this was an hour earlier, it would have been a lot cooler and more people would have been into the entrance. But where it was on the show, it was like, oh, it's Demon Finn, it's on late, and it's like... Again, and also the match could have been better for, the whole thing. Finn won the title, it was a solid match, but it wasn't anything to write home about. It was it was a really cool demon match. It would have been more memorable, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with that.
So Finn's the Intercontinental Champion.
So yay, congratulations, Finn.
Main event. Winner takes all. Raw and SmackDown Women's titles. Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. First things first, Charlotte Flair in her helicopter go.
Charlotte Flair showed up in a helicopter, guys. She takes off her leather jacket, she puts on her robe, and she struts her way into the building. But they had her show up in a helicopter. My only criticism of this was, what the hell was the blush? I'm sorry, that blush to me bothered me because it wasn't, and I'm not a professional makeup artist at all, so please don't judge me, and I don't mean to criticize the glam squad at all, but it's just the blush bothered me quite a bit. But yeah, Charlotte Flair had an epic entrance. Joan Jett played Ronda Rousey to the ring, which it was kind of interesting how they did it because they had Charlotte show up in the helicopter and she walks into the building, and while she's walking to the ring, you had Joan Jett play Ronda Rousey to the ring. Then Charlotte came out.
Yeah, it was them buying time to get the set up for the performance.
Which it's a good cover. And then you have, to a rousing ovation, the man, Becky Lynch, come out. And we got a hell of a fight out of these three. This was a high quality main event match. I'm not going to complain. Yes, I'm extremely biased, but this was really, really good because you had the backstory of Becky and Charlotte playing into this. You had the animosity between Becky and Ronda playing into this. And then you had Ronda just wanting to hold on to her title and not lose essentially because she's undefeated. Ted.
This was physical. One of my favorite parts of the match was you chop like a bitch, then get smacked right across the face.
Yep, that was great.
And also, when Becky brought in the table, Becky flips it over and goes, "Table are for bitches." Felt bad for Charlotte when she took the double hip toss through the table. That didn't sort of broke a little bit, but didn't fully break. So it was like, ooh, that one hurt. The reverse Piper's pit into a three count. With the crucifix pin, Becky Lynch is now your Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion. Some can say, oh my god, that finish was terrible and whatever, because her shoulder was up and that was not supposed to happen. The referee got fined over it. It is what it is. Doesn't take away from the match. Doesn't take away from the ending. The girls delivered in the main event in the toughest spot of the night. In front of a crowd that had seen 7 hours of wrestling prior, they delivered a WrestleMania main event.
The crowd was into it.
They were. This was a hell of a match. It delivered, no questions asked, and the women deserve, again, to be in the main event of WrestleMania when the story dictates it. Doesn't have to be every year, but when you get the perfect matchup with the right story, we now know the women can be in the main event.
Absolutely. This was perfect. This was everything you could ever ask for. It was violent. It was physical. It was within the constraints of the match. There was storytelling. There was animosity. There was just everything in this match. Like, I love how they played this. I love how they did this. A couple notes. Ronda did take a nasty spill out of the ring, and I think she's okay from that. But as a quick Blame Brent news item, just to sort of knock it out, she did actually break her hand in this match, so that's unfortunate for her, but seeing as they're writing her off TV anyway, that was also, I'm sure, a happy accident.
Mm-hmm.
A fortunate accident, let's go with that.
Yeah. Overall, this was a hell of a show. Very enjoyable. Did it drag? Yeah. Does Mania always drag? Yeah. Should it ever be separated into two shows? Hell effing no.
Why would we separate Mania into two shows?
I don't know. It's a thing people want online, and it's like, you're all idiots.
I will say this. I wouldn't mind an intermission. I wouldn't mind, like, back in the day, the way that they used to do Mania was they would have a musical act come out about a third to halfway through the show, and you would get a musical act break, or you'd have the musical act come out at some point in the show to give the crowd a chance to get up, to go to the bathroom, to get drinks, to do whatever. And that gave you the time at home to do that too. Or it's essentially your bathroom break. So I wouldn't mind having that again. That would be very nice, because it's like, then you can get up and go get snacks and move around, because you're just sitting here watching the show. So, you know, that's just me personally. I wouldn't mind getting the intermission back. But in terms of splitting it into two shows, no. Please do not add another show onto this weekend. Just keep it all one.
8-Ball went 6-10. I went 7-9. You went 8-8 in terms of picks.
I'm 500.
There you go. So that's it. WrestleMania
that's
week.
That's it. That's WrestleMania. So we are going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing the news coming out of WrestleMania and also news that collected during WrestleMania. So we do have a lot of news. We're going to try to get through it as fast as possible, because, you know, I know everybody's here for Fortnite with friends. I think we're doing it later. We'll have to see where everybody's at, if we can squad up or not. But till then, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Yeah. No, you don't know nada. I don't know how you can see. Yeah. For these unbelievable dreams, had to do more than it seems. I speak of these things. Now I got trophies and rings. This is the victory theme. I got this. What you know about that? Work. Hey, you want this? Did you know you can use support a creator code? Rock and sock in the Fortnite item shop. That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside
down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. Oh! You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at wildtalkradio.com or on rackradioshow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to, you know, be listening to us on Twitch too, don't forget to click that follow and subscribe button there at the top. You may have a free Amazon Prime. You just never know. So, you know, click the button, check it out, see what you got going on. But, you know, if you just joined us, you missed the epic level long WrestleMania review. Sorry, we kind of had to get through it a little quick because there's a lot left to get through on the show. We're sort of flipping the script tonight because now we are going to do the news. Unfortunately, we're not doing Tweet of the Week this week. I've had a really, really bad week at work, so I just haven't had time to go favorite tweets. And also, again, we have a lot.
There's so much news. There's so much damn news.
Oh my God, the news. Like, normally it's not this bad coming out of WrestleMania, and it's just crazy, 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 crazy stuff. So we're going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. So just to kind of sort of like start, there's a burgeoning story coming out of the Hall of Fame that we sort of referenced to earlier. And it one kind of ties to the other, which is that Triple H was sort of saying in his speech that, you know, there's one thing you can't do. You can't say, you know, Bret Hart.
No,
or, I'm sorry. You can't say Vince McMahon. Bret Hart thanks Vince McMahon. And the writer that wrote his speech got blamed for this. And there's a rumor going around that the dude got fired for it. His name was Robert Evans. But he's actually come out and said that he quit.
Yeah.
He still got in trouble for it.
He got in trouble. There was a whole big hubbub about it. This is a situation where it could have probably blown over. Vince was very mad. He doesn't like his name being mentioned, but that's half the reason. The whole incident with the dude who attacked Brett was part of a reason that pissed off Vince. So it was wrong place, wrong time. The speech was on teleprompter. It was not, so it was like it went through all the proper channels. So at one point it was okay to say the Vince thing. But because of everything that went down, Vince was mad and he had to set an example. And the dude got fired. Or he quit. It's like, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, basically, is the dude knew where this was going, so he was like, yeah, okay, all right, I'm out. So there's that, and then this also ties into the fact that Road Dogg has actually stepped down as the head writer of SmackDown Live. He remains with the company. He's transitioning to a new position, which is sort of like a flex position from what I understand, but he is no longer writing SmackDown.
He's a utility player. The stress of being the top guy on SmackDown, one of the top guys on SmackDown, and dealing with Vince, and dealing with all the changes and the last minute changes for his own mindset, it was best that he back off. Because the position of being a head writer for WWE is one of the most stressful jobs you can have when the guy in charge can't make up his mind all the time or changes his mind at times. And you have to scramble and rewrite things, make changes on the fly. And after being in that position for a couple of years now, it takes a toll on you. Because unlike every other TV job, 52 weeks of the year, they're live. 52 new episodes every single year. Live. It's a lot on your mind, a lot on your brain, and a lot to get done. So it's why WWE head writers always change. They have a lifespan of 3-4 years at max.
Yeah, because, I mean, at some point you hit burnout. At some point you just can't do it anymore. And that's the writing staff in general. That's not just the head writers. That's typically you have writers turnover about every 3-4 years. Sometimes they last a little bit longer. Sometimes they don't. They quit within a first couple months or within the first year. That's often what you kind of see, is people think it's going to be one thing and then it's just something completely different. And just the pressure of it, because it's basically a pressure cooker where they rely on the writers to write Raw, SmackDown, NXT, the pay-per-views, everything. Everything you see goes to, I believe, the same writers. Like, I think specific ones are assigned to specific shows, but overall it's the same writing staff doing everything. So you hit creative burnout pretty quick. So this isn't a surprise that he's stepping down. He's also faced a lot of criticism since taking it over. And with the ratings drop and the networks and everything else, it's just, it's probably not a good situation for him to be in. So he's moving on to something that will be a little less taxing on him, which is probably going to be better for him.
Yeah, and with the move to Fox coming up, it might be the best move for him. And they've brought in a lot of other wrestling people to contribute. So it's like they're not in a lot of trouble there. Speaking of Fox.
Yes.
They're moving to Fox in the fall. WWE will be doing a studio show on Tuesday nights on FS1 this fall, most likely hosted by Jonathan Coachman and a variety of other people. So it's like a combination of an ESPN studio type studio show and Talking Dead, that type of format. It's sort of what they did for UFC when FS1 had UFC coverage. They're going to do for WWE by giving them a studio show. So that's cool.
That'll be fun, and they have plenty of talent that they can dedicate to that, so that should be really, really, really interesting. Speaking of talent, there have been some changes in the world of professional wrestling, and I'm not really going to like try to break this up at all, so we're going to go through the hirings first, and then we're going to go through the firings, or the retirings, depending on which ing it is. So, all right! For WWE, the Usos did re-sign with the company in terms of a new deal, so congratulations to them. AEW sign Alex Marvez and Excalibur. They'll be the announced team for Double or Nothing, so congratulations to them. Alexa Atout will be the backstage interviewer. Justin Roberts will be the ring announcer. And Jim Ross has officially signed his deal, which is for commentary, which is supposedly the most lucrative deal in history for a commentator. We'll see.
Hold on.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah, I want to stay on Jim Ross for a second. It's cool. It's cool that Jim Ross is signed. Don't expect him to be the head commentator. Don't expect him to do a lot of commentary. He's more of a mentor. He's going to work behind the scenes a lot too. I don't know why they're calling it the most lucrative deal for pro wrestling commentators. Probably not going to do a lot of commentary, but I digress. They got to make themselves seem important and whatever. And this is the big tagline they can do there. If anyone's watched Jim Ross cover New Japan, you can see he's taking a step back a little bit. And a lot of talent that he's going to be calling is the independent talent he really won't know much of. So it's good to have Alex Marvez and Excalibur be the team that really handle things. If you need Jim Ross for a big match, big moment, you can call on him with people he knows. Like, he can know Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho and could tell that story. But for some of the other guys, I don't think it's right for Jim Ross to be there. Jim Ross is not a color commentator. He's never has been. He's a play-by-play guy. And Jim Ross can be there for the bigger moments. But for the people he doesn't know, a lot of the independent talent, because I know he doesn't know them. He'll know enough to get by, but he doesn't know them as well as we know like a guy like Jericho, who's covered for his entire career. So it's good to have Jim Ross with a company, but as an announcer, it's hard, because if you listen to him and Lita in the Mae Young Classic a couple years ago, Jim Ross struggled because he didn't know enough about the girls to really tell their story. And the same thing happened with New Japan, is he knew enough to get by, but he didn't know enough to satisfy that audience. So he's been struggling. He's a great announcer. He was always great. But at some point, we're on the next generation. And for a guy like him, who's still good at what he does, the talent has surpassed him in terms of who he knows and who he doesn't. So it's good to have him with the company, but on commentary may not be the best move for them long term.
I feel like for him, where he will become hugely beneficial is the back office, because he has back office experience. He was the head of talent for WWE for years, so he understands the environment. He understands how to run one. He's the first person that I've heard of them signing that has the office experience that they desperately, desperately need, at least to me, because I don't hear of them hiring anybody else for the office. You don't hear anything about how the business operations are going for AEW. We know who's running it, but we don't know who's like running it in terms of the day-to-day operations, who's working on it. So I feel like Jim Ross will be hugely invaluable for them in terms of helping to set up an office that's going to work. Because the whole thing is, you need a front office that can run the company, or else everything you do in the ring is pointless.
So there you go. All right, what's next?
All right, we are on to... Let's do the injuries.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Alrighty, Brent had a busy couple days.
Yeah.
So, he got AJ Styles with an injured SI joint.
Hashtag blame Brent.
It's his hip and ass and stuff. When he landed on a suplex, he landed on his hip.
Basically, Brent broke AJ's ass.
Yep, and so he mentioned during his live stream that's what happened. So he's a little banged up. Everything's okay. It's just a sprain at the moment. So
he just needs to rest.
So we'll see when he gets back in the ring. Could be a few weeks.
Up next, we have Teddy Hart with a concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Ronda Rousey, as we mentioned before, with a broken hand.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Rhea Ripley with torn ligaments.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Those are in her foot. She will be out for about 8 weeks, not 8 months. Please don't believe false headlines. And last, and oddly, oddly last, is Big E with an injured meniscus.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He's been doing too many splits.
Yeah, he tore his meniscus in his knee. He'll be out about 6 weeks or so for the recovery time.
So, feel better, Big E. Moving on from that, we now have the firings, retirings, and
We have one signing we forgot.
What signing? Right. Rob Van Dam signs with Impact Wrestling.
The whole effing show. Rob Van Dam. The whole effing show. It's like one of the most unique theme songs that TNA ever had, because it was custom made for Rob. He had got it made. Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show. Anyway, next.
Next. Now the retirings and the firings, which is Amazing Red has retired officially.
Yeah, that's sad. It's sad he's retiring.
Dave DiBattista has officially retired, like we mentioned in the WrestleMania recap. Dasha Fuentes, of all people, was released over the weekend. That's rather odd.
Well, when they have a stockpile of announcers, it sort of... It was a numbers game, and she was the odd woman out. She was released on Thursday.
Yeah, so best of luck, Dasha. And then in one of the more odd firings of the weekend, Impact Wrestling announced on Sunday that it has terminated its relationship with Eli Drake. Now, he was leaving the company. He had opted not to re-sign his contract, but they fired him before his contract expired, which is very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
This is, I think, stemming off of some comments that he had made in interviews about doing intergender matches and also his straight-up refusal to do an intergender match, and he had to be replaced. So that, yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not. So can I hit the button? Can I hit the button?
Hashtag blame rock.
You're fired!
God, that's so creepy. so creepy. So we also have the Worlds Collide specials. They have been announced. So they had essentially attorney at Takeover, or not at Takeover, at Access, where you had NXT, NXT UK, 205 Live.
Yeah, so we have NXT versus Alumni. Okay, that's airing on April 14th.
Well, I was trying to set it up.
Okay, go ahead. Continue.
And you had Alumni, Jesus Christ, that were all at Access and they all wrestled. So on April 14th, it's the NXT versus the NXT Alumni. Go.
Roderick Strong versus Tyler Breeze. Dominik Dijakovic, terrible name, versus some dude named Luke Harper.
Apparently, he hits a very sick spot on the outside.
Sanity, Wolf and Dane taking on Undisputed Errors, O'Reilly and Fish. And Cashizono versus Aiden English. That airs this Sunday at 8 p.m. on the WWE Network. Then we have the Cruiserweights Collide on April 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern, following NXT. Tyler Bate versus Brian Kendrick. Akira Tozawa versus Jordan Devlin. Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews versus Aria Davari and Mike Kanellis. And Albert Hardy Jr., formerly known as ACH, taking on Grand Metalik and Liegro.
If they make Tyler Bate a effing cruiserweight, I'm going to lose my stuff. Just saying.
The women... Go on.
He's not a cruiserweight.
He's not, but he's small enough to compete with these guys.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying that, but if he ends up on the cruiserweight show...
Oh, he's not going to end up on that show. The Women Collide on April 24th. It will be Io Shirai versus Sonya Deville. Toni Storm versus Nikki Cross versus Bianca Belair. Piper Nevin versus Zelina Vega. And Candice LeRae versus Kaylee Ray.
Okay.
And then on May 1st, it will be a men's and women's battle royal with wrestlers from NXT and NXT UK taking part in matches. Men's battle royal also features wrestlers from 205 Live.
I will accept all of this. All of it, I tell you.
And that all airs on the WWE Network starting this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Wednesday night for the following 3 weeks following NXT.
Woohoo! Yay! So, yes, check it out, because I'm sure there's a bunch of really good matches that got taped. So, yeah. And then last, but certainly not least, yes, y'all, we have reached the end of the news, thank God. It was announced last week that A&E Network is going to be partnering with WWE Studios to produce 5 original 2-hour documentaries under the award-winning Biography banner that showcases some of the most iconic WWE superstars of all time. This includes Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, Booker T, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels. And then through these in-depth films, helmed by some of the industry's top directors and storytellers, Biography continues its focus on meaningful events and personalities as well as their impact on our culture. Through new and archival interviews and never-before-seen footage, each feature-length film will give fans an in-depth look at the early lives, rise to fame, and careers of some of the most influential stars in WWE history. So, very exciting stuff right there.
I'm looking forward to it.
Interview Taker.
Maybe they did.
He brings snacks. Or he provides snacks, apparently. I think it was for Flair?
Yeah, for the ESPN thing. For
the ESPN thing, the crew went out and he had like refreshments and everything for them and they came to didn't do an interview.
He's nice like that.
I think he's nice guy Taker. Aww.
Nice guy Taker.
Who, by the way, is an Instagram whore, number one. But number two, one last little quick news item. Lost 25 pounds, so congratulations to him.
There you go.
And Bray Wyatt has a sock puppet.
Sorry, we're out of time. We don't have time to talk
about it.
Time to talk about it.
Yes, we do.
We gotta go.
Turn off music. Turn it off.
It's off.
So to answer Ash's question from earlier, I didn't know what it was when it popped up. It took me a minute to figure out it was a buzzard because it's like, wait, is it a sock? Is it something else? Like, what is that? I mean, I can't tell you what I actually thought because this is a quasi-PG show, but, or I should say PG-13, but yeah, it was not a good thought. So...
No one's fighting. Anyway, yeah, it's a thing.
So, here's hoping good things with Bray, because God knows he needs them, but yes, the... And just so everybody's aware, the buzzard in the Hawaiian shirt is named Jethro.
It's not legitimately named, it's just been named. Anyway...
It should totally be named Jethro. I'm just throwing that out there. I can't take credit for the name. A friend of mine named him. I'm just, you know, getting the word out to everybody that the buzzard should be named Jethro. Because it is actually a buzzard in a Hawaiian shirt. So, you know, follow the buzzards, hopefully, to Bray Wyatt, who did a cannonball into the goddamn Lake of Reincarnation and found Sister Abigail and has found his goddamn right mind again. Please, Lord, let that happen. Please. Mama needs something. And also, WWE, please do not draw this out with 6 weeks of promos, because I will legit lose my stuff. And Rock's going to have to deal with it. And he's cutting me off. So fine, do your goddamn plugs.
I'm not cutting you off. We got stuff to do. Anyway, that's been the
Rock. Really?
We do. We have to leave them hanging to learn more about the Bray Wyatt puppet next week on the show when we need an actual discussion topic.
Have to react to it.
You can't. Next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Rock, we'll be back live. Tomorrow, Saturday night, midnight edition, is another edition of Steve Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the usual, greatergreatthebike.com, steveradiolive.com. Russell Talk Radio should be on air Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Superstar Shakeup. Who's going where? We'll tell you about it on the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, and we'll recap it all next week, too, during the SmackDown Throwdown part of The Rock. Check out The Rock Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. now available. The latest episode will be available on Tuesday night at 10:30. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rock Radio Show. It's The Rock Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop and file, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live so you know when we go live. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link it to your Twitch account. Boom, that's called Twitch Prime. And you know what you have to do there? You can hit the little subscribe button. You can subscribe for free to the channel. It's that simple. And yeah, you can throw it back to him and you can throw it back to me. It's like I'm ending the first week. Talk more about that.
Only better.
Only better. Only better. So, talk all about that. Yeah, that's it.
Sorry, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD, and you can check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And like you said, if you get a chance, like, follow, subscribe, do all the things on the socials, on the Twitch, and, you know, just enjoy the heck out of the show. Listen to the archives, WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with far less news and no WrestleMania review. I promise. I swear we're back to normal. Till then, stick around because we will be doing Fortnite with friends after the show. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get the squad and we're going to have some shenanigans. So till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.